The lab leak theory now has been covered and studied and looked at for years. So much has been learned since.
And what's amazing is that there seems to be almost a complete media blackout on this topic, even though it's one of the main focuses of the Select Committee on the Corona Crisis in the House right now. It's become untenable to assert that this was a natural origin virus, and yet we hear nothing about it in major media.
Yeah, we know this because a whistleblower revealed it. Nobody in the administration has told us anything. We've gotten all of our information from a whistleblower, but we now know it wasn't just one agency that China was approaching. China made a presentation, or an American representative, Peter Daszak, made a representation to 15 agencies about creating a virus that, guess what, looks suspiciously like COVID-19.
It's Tuesday, April 16, 2024, and this is Narrative Wars. Coming up in today's show, geoengineering, also known as chemtrails, are no longer a conspiracy theory. The University of Washington admits to conducting geoengineering experiments, and at the same time, the state of Tennessee bans geoengineering and the releasing of chemicals into the upper atmosphere to alter the climate. Also, new whistleblower evidence COVID-19 was created in a lab in Wuhan, and 15 U.S. agencies knew this all the way back in 2018. And yet the lies about natural origins persist. Finally, the Supreme Court takes up a case that could affect hundreds of J6 incarcerated Americans. Attorneys for the J6 defendants will argue that the law was written to stop corporate corruption, and then it was unlawfully expanded and applied to about 300 J6 defendants. These stories and more on today's edition of Narrative Wars. I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons, and you don't want to miss this.
We the people are sick and tired.
Let's peel back the curtain of confusion to shed light upon the mainstream media madness. And now, Narrative Wars, with your host, Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. So tired.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in following this program on social media, just search at Jeffrey K. Lyons. And that's Lyons with a Y. You're going to find Jeffrey K. Lyons Narrative Wars on Getter, Truth Social, and X, formerly known as Twitter. I look forward to reading your comments and hearing your thoughts. And now our first story regarding geoengineering, also known as chemtrails. Well, geoengineering is being banned. Yes, it is. In the state of Tennessee, it's being outlawed. The mainstream media has been calling geoengineering chemtrails for decades. But now we know that seeding the atmosphere with salt, chemicals, other particulates has been going on for decades. Scientific American on April the 4th posted an article called Geoengineering Test Quietly Launches Salt Crystals into the Atmosphere. This was April the 4th, 2024, this article. Quote from the article, the nation's first outdoor test to limit global warming by increasing cloud cover launched Tuesday from the dock of a decommissioned aircraft carrier. You know, they got to frame it in the context of global warming. We're going to save the world by screwing with the atmosphere and playing God. And this is what is taking place. The move led by researchers at University of Washington. Well, is that any surprise? The woke state of Washington has renewed questions about how to effectively and ethically study promising climate technologies. I don't think that's ethical at all to go mess with the atmosphere and the air that we breathe. This is a very bad idea. The experiment is spraying microscopic salt. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Tennessee Senate passes a bill that bans chemtrail spraying in their skies. This is from Knowledge They Don't Want You to Know. It was hard to find anybody that covered this. No mainstream media sources wanted to cover this because why? Because it's no longer a conspiracy. Let's listen to this. This is cut number one.
Everyone who's looked up into the sky in recent times knows that something is very, very wrong. Stripes that last for extended periods of time and then spread across the sky into a silvery, quite often grid-type display are not clouds. Commonly referred to as chemtrails, this phenomenon of geoengineering is not new, but it's gotten so bad, so extreme, and so prevalent across every country's skies that it can no longer be ignored, poisoning the public and damaging our environment and our weather in ways so many do not understand yet. But some do. And Tennessee has just taken action in the best news story that I have heard all week. The bill aims to ban the intentional release of chemtrails into the atmosphere for geoengineering purposes.
Now, I've visited the state of Tennessee. I've looked up into the skies. I've had conversations with others. And I've seen the actual planes flying through the sky and these trails behind them. Now, I have to make it very clear. There is a difference between contrails and chemtrails. Chemtrails are geoengineering. Contrails have to do with condensation trails, which occur at a certain altitude. I believe it's about 30,000 feet. And so certain atmospheric conditions have to be just right. But the point is, when condensation occurs, they dissipate. And you can see condensation trails behind airplanes when they do occur. And there's videos of these. Easy to find. Just search it. But they dissipate. They don't stay. They don't hang in the air for hours and hours and hours. But I've seen the airplanes crisscrossing the sky in its gigantic checkerboard pattern. And these are not condensation trails. They don't dissipate. They stay in the air. And they stay for hours and hours and hours. And you can see the airplane that is causing this. So, University of Washington, April 2nd, 2024. Now, this is an article on a University of Washington website. And it's all right here. Global climate change is about more than just greenhouse gas emissions. Among the many complex systems that impact the Earth's climate, one of the most important is how much sunlight is reflected back into space. So they make a couple assumptions right here at the beginning. First, that we're all going to die because of climate change, something which happens naturally and has been happening for millions of years before humans were ever on this planet. And it's going to continue to change. So that's a false claim. Secondly, they talk about sunlight and the need for it to be reflected back into space. Why? Well, because of all the fear-mongering about the planet is too hot. The planet has only warmed up about half a degree centigrade in the last number of decades, and now it's actually cooling. These are from NASA figures, but don't confuse the story with the actual facts. University of Washington. The University of Washington Marine Cloud Brightening Program, an international scientific initiative, they're working to better understand clouds. So they think they need to brighten clouds. You can't make this stuff up. Links are in the show notes. Marine Cloud Brightening, MCB, one of the several proposed climate interventions collectively known as Solar Radiation Modification, or SRM. This is so insane. This is so ridiculous to think that mankind must change the reflective properties of clouds. There was even another article, it came out years ago, and that was to put giant reflectors up in space in order to just bounce back the sun's rays. Absolutely insane. But I think these people just want jobs, and they want a reason to keep those jobs, no matter how insane their claims are or how insane these proposed interventions are. But before any intervention like this can be considered, it's critical to fully understand how to affect the climate system. So before they can even embark on a huge program and spend billions and billions of dollars, they need to study it. They need to come up with a plan on how to screw up the planet even more. So, yeah, the article continues. Being able to add known quantities of sea salt particles to clouds and compare clouds with different concentrations. That's what they want to do. So this was done in the spring, just a few weeks ago. Marine Cloud Brightening Program researchers. They did this on the USS Hornet Sea Air and Space Museum deck. It's a Smithsonian affiliate in Alameda, California. So the University of Washington worked together with the deck of this decommissioned vessel, the USS Hornet. They ran a 30-minute test, and they put this crap in the air. And, you know, we're supposed to think these are brilliant scientists and that this is a great idea on how to spend taxpayer money. How about spending taxpayer money on protecting the southern border? Just shut this down. This is absolutely ridiculous. Quote, this research is of utmost importance to society. So transparency is crucial. You know, this is gaslighting pedal to the metal. No, it's not crucial, and we don't need this, and we don't need to be screwing up the clouds in our atmosphere and screwing up the air that we breathe. The point is that now Tennessee has actually passed a law. It's about to be, it went through the House and it went through the Senate, so it's about to become law. Either the governor can sign it, Bill Lee, or the bills can just become law without his signature. So we'll see what happens. We'll continue to track this. But the Tennessee Senate has said that it's illegal geoengineering. They're not going to allow these chemicals to be sprayed in the air. And they really went over the top in the state of Tennessee. You could see it everywhere in these grid patterns. And I've heard a number of people comment that they've seen this. So Tennessee has taken this seriously. Spoiler alert, it is not a conspiracy theory any longer. The University of Washington is doing it, and the state of Tennessee says not in our state. Coming up next, we now know through multiple confirmed sources that COVID-19 virus was engineered. In other words, it was man-made in the Wuhan, China Institute of Virology, and that the virus leaked to the public in Wuhan, at where it then spread around the world. Senator Rand Paul discusses in this piece, this is Fox News, that 15 different federal agencies knew that the Wuhan laboratory in China was creating a man-made COVID-19 virus. And they knew this in 2018. So that's 2 years before the fake plandemic occurred. Let's give a listen to this. This is cut number 2A.
Senator, real quick before you go, we've got to get into COVID as well. You are out with a report which shows that at least 15 federal agencies knew that gain-of-function research was being done in the Wuhan lab since what, 2018?
Yeah, we know this because a whistleblower revealed it. Nobody in the administration has told us anything. We've gotten all of our information from a whistleblower, but we now know it wasn't just one agency that China was approaching. China made a presentation, or an American representative, Peter Daszak, made a representation to 15 agencies about creating a virus that, guess what, looks suspiciously like COVID-19 and looks like no other virus in nature from that family. They they were working on this and presented it to 15 agencies. And in 2020, when they saw COVID-19, they should have all been calling and raising the alarm and saying, my goodness, we saw this 2 years ago. We knew the Chinese were doing this. Lo and behold, they did it. Nobody in government came forward. Not one person. I take that back. A brave Marine, a lieutenant colonel, came forward and gave us that information, or today we would still not know any of this.
Thank God for whistleblowers, for this brave Marine, Lieutenant Colonel. His career might get cut short, but he did the right thing. Not one single official or employee of 15 agencies revealed the truth to American public during the pandemic, that this was human engineered and it originated in Wuhan, China, at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So Rand Paul points out a number of things here. He says it looks like no other virus in nature from that family. I talked to a doctor about 2 years ago, and he works for a very large medical research institution. And I said, you know, this is really strange. We got this new strain of the COVID-19 coming out, and maybe it's just like bacteria. It just keeps multiplying or changing. And he said, no. He said, they've looked at it. He said, it's not natural. I thought, that's interesting. It's not natural. Well, if it's not natural, the only other choice is it's man-made. So that was a doctor that I talked to. And I can't reveal the source. He did not say that he wanted to go on record with that. In 2020, when they saw COVID-19, they should have been calling out, yeah, these 15 agencies, somebody in each of these agencies should have been calling it out and letting the public know that we are under attack and that China is behind it, unless they were all in on it and they wanted this attack to take place. Because if you remember, it really screwed up the election in 2020. And we went to these ridiculous mail-in ballots. It goes on and on, the fraud from state to state to state in the different contested states. And the evidence, you can see it. We've talked about it. Dinesh D'Souza's movie, 2,000 Mules. It's all there. So what can we say? What is this? It's fifth generation warfare. That's exactly what this is. Here's another piece. Now, this is Dr. Robert Malone. And this was back in February 9th of 2024. The piece we heard earlier was Fox News, April 14th. 2024, just a few days ago. But here's a piece with Dr. Malone, which is equally shocking, which we featured in the teaser at the very beginning of today's program. And he's having a conversation with Jan Jekielek of Epoch Times. And they're talking about what was known, what was not known, the cover-up that occurred. Let's take a listen to this cut. It's cut number 2B.
All this information is coming out because of the House investigations, Freedom of Information Act, key articles. It's become untenable to assert that this was a natural origin virus, and yet we hear nothing about it in major media. If we had known this at the outset, instead of having it covered up, we probably wouldn't have engineered the actual modified spike protein into the vaccines, and probably would have approached this completely different in terms of medical management, early treatment, interventions, etc.
The bottom line, and I frankly find it incredible to even contemplate this, we injected 1.2 billion people with genetic code that would co-opt their bodies to produce an engineered pathogenic protein.
I agree. This is profound.
So I want to double down on that. 1.2 billion people co-opted, lied to, told that this was a sudden pandemic Nobody knew about it, but they had been researching it for 10 years at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And 15 agencies, we just heard that. Whistleblower just came out. Story just broke a few days ago. Senator Rand Paul talked about it. 15 agencies in the United States government knew that this was an engineered bioweapon pathogen, and they knew it back in 2018, and they all kept their mouths shut. So Dr. Malone mentions we have an improbable association between the Central Communist Party of China, the People's Liberation Army, a bunch of branches of the U.S. government, yeah, these 15 agencies, now we know, and an informal international consortium of scientists, physicians, investigators, all high-profile thought leaders who've been involved in both hunting and engineering viruses for decades. And so the result is 1.2 billion people take this jab, which changes the genetic code in their bodies, something which has never been done in the history of mankind. If you took the jab, please, I urge you at this time, do your own research. Do your own due diligence. Dr. Malone continues, they very skillfully played the various nuances of the United States and the international scientific community and the, how they assemble and associate. The Chinese Communist Party clearly has a sophisticated understanding of what motivates them. They've managed to manipulate and effectively co-opt all of these international high-profile academic thought leaders to work on the CCP's agenda. You doubt me? Let's take a look at an article. The Origins of COVID-19, Why It Matters and Why It Doesn't. June 7, 2023. And this article appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, a top-tier journal that academics read. These are the thought leaders. These are the people at the top of the research, supposedly. These are your so-called experts. And what does the article say? This is stunning. January 7, 2023. Now remember, in 2018, 15 agencies in the United States government knew that COVID-19 was engineered by the Chinese Communist Party at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The article goes on to say, more than half of the earliest COVID-19 cases were connected to the Hunan market. And epidemiology mapping revealed that the concentration of cases was centered there. So here's that ridiculous story about bats and a market in Hunan, China, which is in the vicinity of the, guess what? The Institute of Virology, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, not very far from it. In January 2020, Chinese officials cleared the market without testing any live animals. Okay. Recently released findings, including raccoon dog DNA, pointing to a possible SARS-CoV-2 progenitor. So now maybe it came from raccoons or a raccoon dog, whatever the heck that is. Not even bats. So they just keep spinning up this nonsense. Although only one lineage spread globally, the existence of multiple lineages suggests that SARS-CoV-2 epidemic in animals may have led to multiple So suddenly bats and raccoon dogs and all sorts of critters, they all sort of suddenly got together and said, hey, we're going to release a pathogen that's going to affect billions of people. Yeah. Proponents of the accidental laboratory leak theory, the article continues, stress the geographic location of the Wuhan Institute of Virology in the city where the pandemic began. You think? It's like this, folks. Have you ever lived next to a zoo? Have you ever just gone to a zoo. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of animals in zoos. But let's talk about the big ones that bite people, the lions and the tigers, the bears. Let's say a very large lion is suddenly roaming around in the city one block away from the zoo. Wouldn't it be possible? Oh, and by the way, the cage to the zoo is open and there's no lion in there. But wouldn't it make sense to conclude that the lion is the one that got out of the cage? Well, this is what happened at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. In 2018, 15 agencies of the U.S. government all knew that they were creating this bioweapon pathogen. And it escaped right there, close to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. But nope, no, it wasn't that. No, it wasn't the lion. Wasn't the lion that escaped from the pen? No, it just kind of happened. I guess it was a bat or a raccoon dog. How stupid do they think human beings are? In fact, they double down in this article and say, most scientists refute this theory because there's considerable evolutionary distance between the two viruses. This is a bald-faced lie. We know it's a lie because of the whistleblower that just came out recently. And this is propaganda. This is typical of the Chinese Communist Party lying to your face about what's obvious and in your face. You know, there's a time when we need to apply Occam's razor. Occam's razor says whenever you're faced with a problem and there's two possible scenarios, go with the one which is the simpler explanation and drop the one which is convoluted and nobody can understand. That's one way of framing Occam's razor. Basically, go with the simpler situation. The virus came out from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Everybody knew it was there, and that's what caused the pandemic. But this article says, again, this is, I have no respect for the New England Journal of Medicine. June 7th, 2023, the origins of COVID-19, why it matters and why it doesn't. This isn't science. This is propaganda. Absolute nonsense. But the search must continue. Oh, we don't know what it is, but we got to keep looking. This is how they conclude the article. Why? Because there can be future outbreaks, irrespective of COVID's origins. Future outbreaks could result from deliberate, accidental, or natural cause. In other words, we want you to stay scared, and we want you to listen to us, the most brilliant people around, people that publish articles in the New England Journal of Madness. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've found value in this program, please share it with one or two like-minded friends. We rely on listeners like you to keep this program in production. Also, please, 5-star rate, and if you can, leave comments, and that will push the program up in the internet search. You can find this program on all your favorite podcast apps, such as Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and many more. Just go to your favorite app on your device and search for Jeffrey K. Lyons, Lyons with a Y, Narrative Wars. Coming up next, the Supreme Court hears a case this week which may drop charges for hundreds of J6 prisoners. Well, there's a case that is on the docket and the Supreme Court is going to hear it this week. They're going to hear it on Tuesday, Fisher versus United States. So here's a story that came out, ABC News, December 13th, 2023. And the story talks about Supreme Court to hear major challenge to felony statute used against J6 Capitol rioters. So it's been rather quiet since December 13th, 2023. and now mid-April 2024. So let's give a listen to this piece. This is cut number three.
Tonight, there is breaking news at the Supreme Court, the nation's highest court, agreeing now to take on a challenge to the felony obstruction statute, which has been used to prosecute more than 300 defendants in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. So let's bring in Terry Moran, who covers the courts for us. And Terry, the court's decision here could affect hundreds of cases involving those who attacked the Capitol. It could also affect Donald Trump.
It sure could, David. This could have a huge impact. Hundreds of January 6th defendants and Donald Trump himself have been charged under a federal law that makes it a crime to obstruct an official proceeding. But today, the Supreme Court agreed to hear an appeal from one January 6th defendant who argues that that law, which was passed by Congress to deal with witness tampering in corporate criminal cases, cannot be applied to the attack on the Capitol.
So let's dig into this a little more. This may affect 300 defendants in the investigation of January 6, 2021. Why? Because they applied this law, 18 U.S.C. 1512 C2, they applied it to approximately 300 people. So what's the background on this law? Well, the background is that it was passed during the time of the Enron scandal. And if you remember, it was a huge scandal, billions of dollars, and it had to do with financial impropriety. So the Enron era statute was applied to those who breached the Capitol on January 6th as corruptly attempting to obstruct the certification of Joe Biden's presidential victory. The case involves January 6th defendant Joseph Fisher. So the case is Fisher versus the United States. The decision by the Supreme Court will mark the first time the justices of the Supreme Court hear any arguments related to the investigation of the January 6th incident at the United States Capitol. Now it's January 6th, 2021. 18 U.S.C. 1512s, that's the law that is being considered. And the whole point of this case is, can you apply something that was passed many years ago in the aftermath of the Enron financial scandal? Can you use that law in order to prosecute people who committed certain acts on January 6, 2021 at the United States Capitol? So it has to do with obstructing official proceedings, which is now part of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002. So we're talking about something that goes back over 20 years. The law was prompted by the exposure of Enron's massive accounting fraud and revelations that the company's outside auditor, Arthur Andersen LLP, had systematically destroyed potentially incriminating documents. So how is it you go from a law that's passed in order to deal with the Enron financial scandal and Arthur Andersen LLP, that was the accounting firm that committed this fraud, how can you go from that to applying this to people at the United States Capitol? Well, the U.S. Supreme Court thinks that's a good question. It's a valid question, and that they have overextended. In other words, the Department of Justice has overextended, and they're applying a law that really should not be applied in this case. It has huge ramifications. If the Supreme Court rules that this doesn't apply, it could potentially mean both a reduction of sentences of many, many J6 defendants that have been jailed, and it could also mean the release of many defendants. So this is extremely important. And again, it's an overreach, and it's what Dinesh D'Souza refers to as living in a police state. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show for today, and hopefully justice will prevail, and hundreds of J6 prisoners will be set free from the Washington, D.C. gulag. If you've enjoyed this program, please give it a 5-star rating and share it with one or two like-minded friends. We've been shadow banned, but our audience continues to grow because of you. America shall remain the land of the free and the home of the brave, a place where we can still proclaim liberty throughout the land. And that's a comforting thought. Until next time for Narrative Wars, I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. So tired.